Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is 93.7 The Ticket.
Look at me, short. Look at me, short. I'm the captain now.
Three-time national champion, Vershawn Jackson.
Oh, I got a bunch. All alone is Vershawn Jackson. And Vershawn, he'll get it to the 24-yard line.
Coming at you live from the Koppel's Chevrolet GMC studios in the heart of Lincoln, America. On air and online at theticketfm.com. Here he is, Vershawn Jackson.
Ah, yeah. Man, I'm sitting here looking at Coach Osborne like, you know what, Coach, give me a play. And he's sitting there taking shots at me, Coach. God, dog.
Well, you're a big target.
it's just the truth.
We have a lot of memories that are still up there.
Well, I know, right? Coach Osborne, I can only remember Mary Lynn calling me. Coach Osborne wants to see you. Oh, boy. I'm in a world of trouble if Coach Osborne wants to. If you get that phone call from Mary Lynn, you are in some water.
Well, fortunately, we both survived.
Yeah, we did.
Yes.
Coach, recruiting. Mm-hmm. It seemed to me when I look at all the guys that I've interviewed, it seems like you recruited athletes. Is that true? Did you recruit athletes or did you recruit skill-specific players?
Well, I think both. We like to recruit people that had played more than one sport. And one of the things today, you know, kids sometimes are on these select teams. They play 60, 70 basketball games or 70 baseball games, mm-hmm. and they play one sport, and they start sometimes second, third, fourth grade. And I always felt that the more competitive opportunities a young guy was in, the more he benefited just simply from being out there on his own and having to compete. And so we kind of like multi-sport athletes, but the specialization wasn't as current in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and even 90s as it is today. Mm-hmm. And to some degree, I can see some good things about it in that players learn one sport really well, and if it happens to be a good fit for them, it's probably a benefit. But there's a lot of guys that specialize in basketball, and they might have been a better football player, but they never know, because they never did it, and in other sports as well. So it's I guess you just take what situation deals you. And but I think that, of course, when I was growing up, and now I'm sounding like any guy that's 85 years old, but, you know, we played out in the driveway, and we played pickup games, and I lived across the street from Hastings College, and they'd give us old helmets and shoulder pads, and we'd get 6 or 7 kids from the neighborhood, and we'd play tackle football out on the college grounds, and that's kind of what you did. And in basketball season, played basketball, and track, you ran track, and baseball, and so you played them all, and there was more recreational deal. I mean, it wasn't quite as structured. You didn't have uniforms, and you didn't have parents in the stands, and officials, and there were some good things about that, but I also understand that it's important for parents to care, it's important for parents to be there, So if it's 60 baseball games, that's okay too.
You when you guys were identifying talent and you brought it in, so I'll use myself for instance. I came in as a fullback. How did you say he could play tight end?
Well, we felt like Vershawn, you were a pretty good blocker, but you may not have been another Barry Sanders, you know. Now, I hate to hurt your feelings.
Bring it on, coach.
But no, you made that switch very well, and you really were very helpful. And having a great blocker out there was as important as having a great pass catcher. And so we just always tried to find places that people fit better. And sometimes they moved not just once, they sometimes move two or three times. You know, a lot of times a guy that started out as a safety ended up as a linebacker, or sometimes even moved over to offense and became a receiver. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you think about Luke McCaffrey. We had him here. And he wanted to be a quarterback and probably wasn't the greatest thrower in the world. So he makes transfer. I can't remember where he went first, Louisville, I think. He lasted a week there, and then he ends up down at Rice, and now he's become a receiver. And it would have been best if he'd done it here right away, because he really had speed. He had great, and if he's ever going to play in the NFL, it'll have to be as a receiver. Mm-hmm. And but with the transfer portal, there's always a temptation for kids to think, well, I'm just not being treated right here. These people don't know what they're doing, and so they transfer. And most transfers, I think, end up thinking, you know, I might have been better off at the first place.
Mm-hmm. 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 Let me jump in here, because you just mentioned NFL, and you and I were talking. We were just talking on the break about your time in Washington. Mm-hmm. You're a great assessor of talent, and I would like to ask you to scout young Tom Osborne, the NFL receiver.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you that story. It was kind of strange because I went to Hastings College. Mm-hmm. I had scholarship offers at Nebraska in football and basketball. And the football coach said, well, if you play football, you can't play basketball. And the basketball coach said, if you play basketball, you can't play football. And I wanted to play them both. And to be honest with you, Nebraska wasn't doing all that well in those years. And I'd grown up knowing the coaches over at Hastings. And so I decided I'd go there. And so I went there. It wasn't very high profile football. Played football, basketball, ran track. And so we played one time down in a bowl game called the Mineral Water Bowl in Excelsior Springs, Missouri. And one of the officials there was a guy named John Waldorf. And John Waldorf was the head of officials later in the Big Eight Conference. But his brother was Lynn Waldorf, better known as Pappy Waldorf. And he was the general manager for the 49ers. And apparently in that game, he thought I played well enough, and he recommended me to the 49ers. And at that time, there were only 12 NFL teams. Today, there's 32. And at that time, there were only 38 players on a team. Now there's 53. And so I was the 19th round pick. Mm. Today, they only have 7 rounds, you know. But they had 30 rounds in, so I was...
Yeah.
I considered myself a high draft pick at 19th round. And they had 33 agents, so we had 100 guys in camp. Wow. And all 38 veterans were back. And, you know, the first 3 rounds, they're going to be automatic. They're going to keep those guys.
Right.
And so the head coach called me in one day, and he said, now, Tom, he said, we know you played quarterback in college. But we have Y.A. Tittle here, and Y.A. had been 12-year veteran, All-Pro. And we have John Brody, and John Brody had been All-American, was their first-round pick. And he said, we're only going to keep two quarterbacks. But if you think you can beat one of them out, why don't you go ahead and do it? But I knew at that time he was telling me, we got two quarterbacks, and it ain't you.
Right.
So I said, well, you know, I think I maybe could be a receiver. So I went out there, and I survived one day, another day, another day. And at the end, I was still around and played on their practice squad. They had five guys. And then and I started some games in the exhibition season. And so the Redskins, I started against the Redskins, and they apparently liked something about me. They picked me up, so I went back there and played 2 years. And that last year, just to show you how smart they were, they said, well, everybody's going to run a mile first practice. Everybody's going to run a mile for time. And so I pushed myself pretty hard, ran a mile. And then I was kind of tight. And then he said, now we're going to run 40s. Well, you should run 40s the other way around.
Yeah, yeah.
So I run a 40 and pull a hamstring. And I knew I was on the bubble. And I knew I couldn't afford to miss. So I kept practicing. And then every game they would shoot it with Novocaine. And a muscle relaxer. And I could hardly walk for 2 or 3 days. And then I'd limp through practice. And then I'd play. And end up with so much scar tissue in there that every time I started a sprint, it just knotted up, and I figured I couldn't play anymore. And so that's when I came back to Nebraska. And I arrived here at the same time that Bob Devaney came here in January of 62, and that's when I came here. And I was going to go into college administration. But I knew that I was going to miss athletics. So I went over to see Bob, and I said, I wonder if I could be a graduate assistant coach for you. And he said, well, I got all the coaches I need. He said, I don't really need a coach. But he said, I've got some guys over in Sellett Quadrangle. And these guys had been attended Marquette. Marquette dropped football. They were all from Chicago. And they moved in there, and they threw the dorm counselor out. And they were running the show. And he said, if you'll move in with those guys, I'll give you free meals on the training table. Big deal, you know. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay. So I went over and broke up a few fights and settled things down. I remember Larry Kramer was one of our offensive linemen, later became an All-American. And he'd thrown a snowball in the dorm. And he'd also taken a newspaper out of the vending machine without paying for it. And they were going to throw him out of school. So I had to sit down with the disciplinary council and convince him that Larry wasn't that bad a guy and that maybe we should keep him around. And I think Bob thought that was a good thing, that we kept Larry around. So he said, well, came spring ball, he said, we'll let you coach. So anyway, that's kind of how it started. And one thing led to another, and I ended up coaching and didn't really plan to be a coach. So anyway, that's a long story, but that's how I got to be a receiver, because I'd always been a quarterback.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah. Went from one position to talk about Tony Veland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tony Veland was playing very well.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
At quarterback,
mm-hmm.
Got some injuries. How did y'all know he would be able to help us out at safety?
Well, Tony was a really good athlete, you know, and he had speed. Probably some quarterbacks wouldn't be good safeties because they can't run, but Tony could. Tony was smart, and I when we recruited Tony, we thought he could be a good quarterback, but he did. He had a dislocated kneecap, and. It's a pretty serious injury, and that kind of knocked him out of the competition, and turned out well for him because he played in the NFL as a safety and really played well for us. And Tony's on our teammates' board now and does a lot of good things working with kids.
Coach, when you talk about it, just a great segue when we talk about teammates, when did you get involved? What made you start it? And where are we at today with teammates?
Well, again, you know, I sometimes don't know how long the story needs to be, but I came home from practice one day and Nancy said she'd been watching a segment of 60 Minutes. And on that segment, there was an elderly gentleman named Eugene Lang. And he had made some money. He'd developed some patents, invented some things, and made some money. And he was invited to go back to speak at his middle school graduation. And when he'd gone to school there, had been in the sort of an affluent area. And, of course, he'd gone to school there 50 years before. And now things had changed. It was now in the inner city. And he was kind of shocked at the changes. The school building was different. Demographics are different. And he asked the principal, he said, how many of these kids do you think will go to college? And the principal said, well, if we're lucky, maybe one will go to college. So he was shocked. And when he got up to speak to those kids, he said, if you guys will stay out of trouble and graduate from high school, I'll pay your way to college. And Nancy was kind of impressed by that. And she said, do you think we could do that? And I said, well, Nancy, see, they didn't pay coaches then what they do now. I said, I don't know if we can put an elementary school through college, but let me see what I can do. So I got up in front of our team one day and I said, how many of you guys would be willing to serve as a mentor to a 7th or 8th grade boy in Lincoln Public Schools? And 22 hands went up. And Will Shields was one of those guys. And Jason Light, who's now the general manager for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was one of them. And Steve Volan, who's an orthopedic surgeon. And George Achola, who's an attorney in Omaha. Had some pretty good guys. And they all raised their hands. And so we paired them up with some kids and just said, just get together with them once a week. And then once a month, we'd get them together and have a speaker and play some basketball and have some pizza. And then we got a little bit concerned because at that time, you could drop out of school at age 16. Mm-hmm. And these kids got to be 15 going on 16. And so I got up in front of them and I said, now, if you guys will stay out of trouble and graduate from high school, we'll pay your way to college. And the only problem with that was we didn't have the money. And we didn't know where the money was coming from.
Right.
But I think a year later, somebody figured out that when Bob Devaney had been the coach, he'd won 100 games. And when I'd been the coach, we'd won 100 games. And so they had a double 100 celebration, and people donated a bunch of money. And it was 200-some thousand. And that was the money. So we were able to fulfill that promise. And what surprised us when it played out, of those 22, 21 graduated on time.
Nice.
And they weren't all great students. And that really surprised us. And one guy that didn't graduate was riding dirt bikes around the country making money. And he graduated a year later. So they all graduated. But the thing that really surprised us was of the 22, 18 graduated and went on to college. And we thought maybe four or five would. And so I thought, well, maybe there's something to this. And we expanded the program first here in Lincoln, began to use adults as mentors, and then expanded across the state. Now we're in five states, and we're mentoring about 10,000, 11,000 kids.
Wow.
So it's grown a lot. And so anyway, that's kind of how it started. And it's like a lot of things, maybe like this radio station you did. When you started out, you didn't really envision what it would be. And so one thing leads to another.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Coach, if someone wanted to become a mentor, who do they contact? What would they do to become that mentor?
Well, the best thing is just get on the internet, look at teammates.org, and we can walk you through the process. The important thing to realize is that we will match you with somebody that has similar interests. And we'll match you with somebody who wants to be a mentor. Nobody's in teammates who has a principal say, well, you've got to go into teammates. Or somebody from the police department says, you've got to be a teammate. These are all kids who have volunteered. And their parents have agreed, or a parent. And then similar interests. And we train the mentors for about an hour and a half and make sure they're not just out there flying blind. And it's all school-based, so everything's in a school. And we have building coordinators who sign you in and out, find a place for you to meet, and any issues you have that are problems, they'll help you. And then if you normally come on Monday at noon and you want to come the next day, they'll be very flexible. So it's very easy. And most lunch periods is where most of our mentoring occurs, and those lunch periods are only about 35 minutes in length. So you can leave your place of work, go and mentor, and be back probably within an hour. And if you'd rather meet at 10 in the morning in a study hall or after school, we're very flexible. So we've mentored over 43,000 kids without an incident of any child being harmed. And that's primarily because it's school-based, and we do very careful screening of mentors. So that's what we do.
Well, we appreciate you, Coach Osborne, because that, you know, John Shuley was my mentor growing up. And I always look back and I tell him this all the time because he don't have any hair on his head now. And so he says that's because of me. But I look back on the things that he taught me and what I would be if I hadn't had him in my life. So to all the teammates mentoring, the guys that are mentoring, the ladies that are mentoring, shout out to you guys and continue on. And if you want to become a mentor, please go to teammates.org and figure that out, how we can help some of these youth, because they are the future. They are the future.
And they can go to lincolnteammates.org for local direction as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. You bet.
Coach, you coached 53 All-Americans. You got a favorite?
Not really. No. I like them all.
Yeah, and, I know.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because people are always asking, well, who was the best player you ever coached? But, you know, positions are so different. I mean, you think of Dave Remington at center and the skills that Dave Remington needed compared to a quarterback like Tommy Frazier or Steve Taylor and on. It's so hard to compare because, and of course, Johnny Rogers, not as a head coach, but as an assistant. And Johnny could hurt you so many ways. As a punt return, kickoff return, running the ball from scrimmage, receiving. All of those skills are so different. But any guy that played and was awarded All-American status or was a high draft pick in the NFL, you knew he had to be a really good player and have a certain degree of tenacity and a certain degree of intelligence, but always had a great competitive spirit. And football changed, you know, because when I first went there, weight training was almost unheard of. And then we started out, Bob Devaney had some really good years early, and we won four straight Big Eight championships, beat Oklahoma. And that was unheard of because, you know, Oklahoma had ruled the world under Bud Wilkinson. And then we hit 2 years. We went in 1967 and 1968, we went 6-4. And that second 6-4 season, we played Oklahoma down there. And we got beat 48-0 or something like that. And people began to get pretty irritated, you know, it had some winning seasons, and they wanted to get rid of some assistant coaches. And some people even had, I think there was a petition in Omaha going around to get rid of Bob Devaney.
Wow.
And so everything was on the table. And I was dressing down in the lower end of the old field house, and Boyd Epley was a pole vaulter, and he was dressing down there, and he kept telling me he thought he could help with the football team with weight training. So I took him in to see Bob Devaney. And Bob was kind of an old school guy, and they always thought if you lifted weights, you'd be muscle bound, couldn't comb your hair. and so he was skeptical. But we'd had that year, which things were really shaky. And so finally, I remember he told Boyd, he said, "Okay, Boyd," he said, "we'll give it a shot. but if our players get worse, you're fired. And so Boyd said, okay. And the only reason Boyd was available, he had gotten into weight training. He'd gotten bigger. And he kept breaking the poles. You know, he weighed 220 pounds.
Too big.
And Frank Savine was a track coach. And those poles were expensive enough that he decided he didn't want a weightlifter around anymore. So anyway, Boyd was a smart guy, and he was very innovative, and he put us kind of out ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. And he was the first full time strength coach of any college or university.
Wow!
And I think he turned out something like about 65 or 70 assistants who were full time strength coaches in college or the NFL. I mean, this was kind of the hotbed of strength training for a long time. And that really helped us out. But that kind of got us rejuvenated. 69, we went 9-2, beat Georgia in the Sun Bowl. In 70-71, we were undefeated both years and won national championships. And all of a sudden, we were a lot smarter again. You know, people were going to fire us. But, you know, I was 32 years old with wife and three little kids. And I guess I began to see what coaching could lead to. You know, it's not an easy deal.
With Coach Osborne, Coach, when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about career wins, 255 wins, 49 losses, 3 ties. How come you've been so consistent? I'm with Coach Osborne, the captain, the ticket, 93.7. Be right back.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.